So we went to Spring Harvest, as we've heard a bit about Spring Harvest. It's a conference, Christian conference. They take over Butlins, so there are about, probably around about 5,000 people there. And we hadn't been since before COVID. So some things had changed and some were the same, but we had a great time of teaching and amazing worship. The Lord was really present in all of it. You could feel the sense of his power and his presence, whether you were in the all-age worship, whether you were in soaking in the Holy Spirit. It was amazing. So the theme this year was No Greater Story, encouraging us to embrace God's epic story and rediscover where we are in it. We were looking at his great story through the lens of the book of Isaiah, looking back to creation and seeing him in every part of history, and forward through his prophecies, seeing where our story comes into his big story, seeking a fresh vision of God and embracing the greater story that he's working out for the world. There was a definite call for us to be ready and willing to take up, to play our part in his story. I wanted to share with you one of the great encouragements, and you may have heard this, may have come across on the social media internet, but about 3 weeks ago, the Bible Society published a report showing an increase, a vast increase in church going. And the rise is virtually across the age range. The blue, the dark blue is this year's statistics, 2024, the light blue is 2018. They ask the same questions, and you can see there's been a massive rise. One of the biggest rises, if you look, is in the 18 to 24 age group, Generation Z or Gen Z. These are all people who consider themselves Christian and go to church at least once a month. As I said, the greatest range is in the 18 to 24s, which has risen from 4% to 16%. Actually, if you break that down, the biggest rise is amongst men, young men, and it has risen from 4% to 21% in that age group. God is on the move. This has been called the quiet revival. I'll share with you some of the things that I learned from Andrew Ollerton, author of the Bible Course, works for the Bible Society. And he was talking about the changing times. He described, he has two teenage children, a daughter of about 17 and a son who's younger. And he describes journeying with his teenage daughter, who asked him why they couldn't have a really cool car like that one over there. When he looked, it was a Skoda. And he thought, oh, interesting. For those who remember Skoda jokes, times have changed. He also spoke of his teenage son coming to him and asking for a New Testament. And he said, well, of course I've got a New Testament. I work for the Bible Society. What do you want it for? And he said, to wrap up and give it as a birthday present to my friend. He really wants one. It's now cool to give the Bible as a gift. Amongst teenagers, things have changed. Sales of the Bible have also increased massively. I think he said 87% since COVID. Another interesting statistic from this report is that 34% of Gen Z said that they would come to church if they were asked, if they were invited. What an opportunity. Let's invite them. He also encouraged us to leave the defensive mode behind, because I think sometimes when people ask us about our faith, we go a bit into defensive mode. And he said, no, go and sit with people who are curious, trusting that it's real. He spoke from the encounter of Philip, the evangelist, and the Ethiopian. Philip went alongside, and then he asked, do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian was a curious seeker. Andrew suggested that we pray daily that the Lord would lead us to curious seekers, however different they are from us. The other theme, which seemed to crop up again and again throughout throughout the week, really, it was something that really I picked up in all sorts of different sessions, talking about discipleship. And I guess it challenged me. Am I being discipled? And am I making disciples who make disciples? Are we as a church being discipled? Are we making disciples who make disciples? I'll leave you with that and hand over to Meg. Morning. So this is my first ever Spring Harvest, so of course I had to begin every day with the big start. And this is where we learn our great new song. And here they built God's big timeline, which was an illustration for the children about where we might fit into God's greater story. And Bev will be saying a bit more about that in a moment. One of the best and most thought-provoking sessions that I went to was called The Pursuit, with Richmond Wandera, who is from Uganda. So that made it a little bit extra more powerful because I went to Uganda last year. Richmond is the senior pastor of New Life Baptist Church in Kampala, a fast-growing church ministry situated right at the heart of the toughest slum community in Uganda. Richmond's heart for his community led him to initiate several efforts to bring hope to vulnerable children, school dropouts, and teenage mothers. Over the past 5 years, this ministry has seen hundreds of struggling youths and children find hope through acquiring skills in popular trades. Dr. Wandera is also passionate about justice. Growing up in one of Uganda's worst slums, he believes that his life is a testament of the power of justice. He believes that if Compassion International hadn't intervened at a critical point, he would have lost his life. Aged 8, Richmond was rescued from the gutter as a result of the Compassion Initiative. He was chosen and sponsored by a 15-year-old girl. As a result of his amazing rescue, Richmond has been able to reach thousands of people from all backgrounds across 5 continents, challenging them to live simply so that others can simply live. These were the main points of his talk. So he was urging the young people not to wait until they're older, because youth isn't a restriction, it's a revolution. He also encouraged us to light a lamp in our generation. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." It was amazing that on the last morning we had a 17-year-old preacher, Millie, who had just won a Young Preacher of the Year award, and she was invited to preach to 1,700 people in the main venue. She and her family were at Spring Harvest 10 years ago when she was 7, and they were all healed of their allergies. So when she was age 7, Millie organised a show-and-tell session at her school to share with her classmates what Jesus had done. All of you here know young people, maybe children, grandchildren, nephews and nieces. We are all urged in those memorable lines from the book of Deuteronomy to invest in the next generation. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 9, it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." We were encouraged repeatedly to step into our story. So, who are you investing in? Which young people are you nurturing and encouraging in faith? Step into your story. Stand in your place. God calls us, as Richmond said, to be revival carriers, kingdom influencers, unshakable disciples, church rebuilders, saints who are returning to God, and voices of hope. These are challenges for us all, but each one of us is called to play our part in God's great story.
My spring harvest. This was my first spring harvest, and I'd like to share with you some of my highlights from the week. I'm still in my spring harvest bubble, hence the wristband. It feels good here, warm, fuzzy feeling, and I want to stay here, but I can't because I have a mission. I've been commissioned by God for a very special job, and I'll come back to that later. I'd been wanting to go to Spring Harvest for a few years. I'd always heard good things about it, and I was curious. However, things had never really worked out until this year. I know, God's timing. It was back in January when at one of our home groups, Tim asked me if I'd like to join him, Sally and Meg at Spring Harvest in April. So after making sure my boy was taken care of, thank you, Carol, I jumped at the chance. So Isaiah 60 verse 22 says, "When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen." So with my bag packed, Bible in hand, we made our way to Butlins in Minehead. I'd found out that the theme for this year was No Greater Story, and the main focus of Bible readings would be from the book of Isaiah. I was excited to see how this would come alive over the next few days and what I could learn and take with me on my faith journey. I didn't have to wait long. That first evening was incredible. A gathering of 1,700 people praising God, 90 minutes of worship and Bible readings, and Leon Evans. So Leon talked about his son, who, as a small toddler, had no fear of animals. That was until he came face to face with a Shire horse. Sensing his fear, Leon picked up his son and put him on his shoulders. And the fear went instantly. And he felt God say to him, "Everything looks different when you're on Daddy's shoulders, because perspective changes everything." I'm sure we can all relate to that. There are a lot of big things in our lives, things that seek to overwhelm us, and this is when we absolutely need to climb onto Daddy's shoulders, change our perspective, and see God for who he really is, a great God. He's bigger than everything. And this really pulled at my heartstrings because, yes, it's true, my story is definitely not what I dreamed about. And as Isaiah 43 says, "Forget what happened before. Do not think about the past. Look at new things I'm going to do. It's already happening. Don't you see it? I will make a road in the desert. I will make rivers in the dry land." So the next day, Meg and I were walking to the big start. I'll explain more in a second. When Meg turned to me and she said, "Everyone here is just so nice." And I couldn't agree more. It was so lovely to be surrounded by other Christians, knowing that we all had that one thing in common, Jesus. It felt so cozy and warm, like being in a big hug. So the big start was every morning at 9 o'clock, primarily aimed at children, but people of all ages were there. And I don't know about you, but sometimes having a Bible story conveyed in a child's language just embeds that a little bit deeper. They use the analogy of a time machine to explore the Bible and understand how God's plan unfolds from the beginning to the end of time, and recreating what Isaiah saw of God's greatness to help us see more clearly God's plan for our lives. Another wow moment for me was Tuesday evening when Sally, Meg and I went to Soaking in the Spirit in the Marquee, and I absolutely did. I have never felt the Holy Spirit like I did that evening. It felt amazing, and I sang my little heart out. I was totally submerged in that atmosphere. I am a child of God, and there was nowhere else I wanted to be than right there worshipping Jesus. That evening, I recommitted to following Jesus wholeheartedly and completely surrendering my life to him. On Wednesday afternoon, after studying the programme, I knew I had to see Bear Grylls. So, for queuing, I queued for over an hour to bag myself and Meg a seat as close to the front as possible. And he certainly had some stories to tell. He reinforced the importance of courage, of walking towards your fears and holding the hands of loved ones to help you, but most importantly, holding God's hand. I then queued for another hour to get my book signed. So, back to my mission. What has God commissioned me to do? Spread the word, of course. And it's not easy. But you don't know who's watching you. There's your children, co-workers, friends. They are all being discipled by your example. And we need to be patient too, because these things take time. On Friday, we heard Mark Madovan speak. He told us how his daughter was feeling a little let down by God, as she'd been talking to friends about Jesus and nothing appeared to be happening. Where was Jesus? And then weeks later, she called her dad to say her friend was going to church with her. Wow. So this truly is no greater story, or as I like to think of it, no greater love story.
I googled a definition of the phrase, you need to get out more, and it generally means someone is spending too much time indoors or focusing on a particular interest to the point where they seem to be out of touch with reality. It suggests that they could benefit from experiencing the world more and engaging with others. And I was then thinking about that in the context of our own faith journeys. I wonder sometimes if we need to get out more. It helps to feed our faith, as we've been hearing in the stories. It broadens our horizons, it widens our perspective. We see what is going on outside of this relatively small community. We hear about other people's faith journeys, what God is doing elsewhere. Sally, Meg, and Bev have shared some important things with us, and I know that each one of us benefited hugely from our recent trip to Spring Harvest. Our faith grew, we were inspired, emboldened, reinvigorated, fired up. And I saw Roger Arnett shortly after he came back from a trip to what was called Keswick in Sidmouth earlier in the year. And Roger shared with our house group what he'd been up to. And I hope he won't mind me saying that I've never seen him like that before. He came back on fire for God. And those of you that were here for Jamie Fleming's talk after he'd returned from Catch the Fire in Toronto will be aware that Jamie most definitely caught the fire. As well as going to Spring Harvest, in January this year, I went to, on two consecutive Sundays, I went to two different churches, one in Bournemouth, one in Feltham. And on the 29th of June, you'll see from the new term card, there may be a group of us going over to an evening service at Love Church in Bournemouth, just to have an experience of another church, to see what God is doing somewhere else. We've already organised some rooms for Spring Harvest next year. It's on April the 6th, the day after Easter next year at Minehead. And I know that Margaret and Roger are probably going back to Keswick in Sidmouth. So there are opportunities to join up with either of those things or just coming to a different church to see what God's doing somewhere else. Other than in Swanage. He's doing lots of brilliant things in Swanage, but you know, it's good to see. And what Sally was sharing about the young people and the, you know, the 18 to 24 year olds or 16 to 24 year olds, whatever it was. So the key teaching, and I'm literally only going to be a couple of minutes because I don't want to, I realise that the time has got on, but Isaiah, in that passage that we read, he had what, somebody wrote a book actually, it was called Aha. It was somebody called Kyle Eidelman. I've not come across him before, but that was a title of a book that he wrote about Isaiah called Aha. And the A stands for awakening, the H for honesty, and the A for action. And if we think about that short passage that we read, Isaiah had an awakening. It says right at the beginning, chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah saw God. He saw God, and God is awesome. He then goes on and says, woe to me. He realizes the awesomeness of God. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, he says. He realizes that he's in the presence of the King, the Lord Almighty. And there are some other references in the Bible to amazing meetings with God. When Simon Peter saw this, do you remember this quote? He fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. So he had a similar experience to Isaiah. And think of Moses at the burning bush. You know, God beckoned him and then said, but don't come too close. And he took off his shoes because he was on holy ground. God is awesome. He casts no shadow. The train of his robe filled the temple, the whole earth. And we had a little expression given to us, which I thought was good. God is holy, holy. So W-H-O, I should have put it on the screen, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and then H-O-L-Y. God is holy, holy. Honesty. He encountered God, and that led to some brutal honesty. He was convicted of those unclean things that we read about in those verses. And action. He heard God's voice and responded. He took action, and eventually saying, of course, here I am, send me. So God met him where he was, and everyone has a story. We've all got stories. We're all where we are now, and all our stories, whatever they are, they can be redeemed. We can be cleansed, as Isaiah was, and our story can be redeemed in the bigger story of God. But we just need to get our hearts right, like Isaiah did, to be surrendered to God, to presented to God, offered to God. And we were encouraged to get our posture right. And they used a word called kedusha, which means holiness or sanctity. We need to be, we are a holy people, a royal priesthood, aren't we? A holy people. So obviously there were, the guy that spoke on the last morning said, oh, I'm going to be talking about Isaiah chapter 6. He said, there've already been 5 sermons on this week, so we had an awful lot of preaching on Isaiah, not just Isaiah chapter 6, obviously, but that was really the focus of the week. But there was also Rick Warren. Could you just put the next slide up, Roger? Rick Warren, who wrote years ago, 2003-ish, 4-ish, he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. And he was meant to be coming in person to Spring Harvest, but his doctors advised him that he needs to stop flying around the world because it's not good for his health. So he was beamed in, and he gave the most amazing talk called Finishing the Task. And I'm going to, 5 o'clock this evening, I'm just going to make a little circle round here, and I'm going to bring the main points of his talk. It'll be about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 minutes maybe, if anybody's got any questions. I was interested when John was talking about the Pope just now, that, you know, the Pope right up until the moment he died was finishing the task. He was finishing the task that had been assigned to him. And each one of us, we have a task that God has assigned to us, and it's a lifelong journey with God. Jesus, aged 12, said, I must be about my Father's business. At age 12, he recognized that he'd been called to a particular ministry. And right at the end of it, on the last night before the cross, he told God, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the task that you gave me to do. That's not the same as it is finished, which he said on the cross. This is finishing the task, the work, the ministry that God gave him to do. So we haven't got any more time this morning. If you're interested in that talk, I will be giving it this evening at 5 o'clock. I just will finish with a prayer, if I can find it. Let's pray. Lord, I am often all too aware of my limitations. Help me understand that none of these are a surprise to you and that you still choose me. Help me to embrace you more as I learn to embrace the limitations. Help me to learn to walk and run and soar with your spirit as I partner more with you for your glory. For you are greater than my limitations. Amen.